We are here gathered together to open up the Word of God, then walking through Romans 12. I don't know about you, but for me, Romans 12 was a little challenging last week. It reminded me of when I first read through it. I could not believe it was calling me to do those things. I'm like, what? And it also challenged some of my attitudes at the time, and still does. It's a good word. And it tells us how, and especially Romans 12 is too specifically to us, and all of it to us. But, of course, the main part of Romans 12, I see it at the end there, in verse 21 says, to be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Yeah, okay. What a challenge. So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get into Romans 13. Father, we thank you today for another opportunity to come. In spite of us, in spite of me, we are still here. And help us, Lord, to learn to revel in these opportunities and to be thankful for the fact that we can worship openly in this country, because we know and we've seen that there are places where it can't be done, not in live. We're so glad for what you created in this particular part of the world for us. And as a result, we know you, and we're so grateful to know you, Lord. And so now, as we look into your word to better understand your mind and your heart and the issues of life, we hope that you first touch me and help me to not get in the way so that I won't be seen or heard. Lord, we hear from men all the time. Today, we need to hear from you. And I also ask that you touch those that hear, that they also might get out of the way so that we all can hear and receive and benefit from what thus saith the Lord unto our hearts this day. It's in the wonderful name of Jesus we do pray. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. I think this talks about how you should handle yourself in your everyday civil life and civil interactions. It starts out by saying, let every soul be subject unto the higher power. For there is no power but of God. And the powers that be are ordained of God. And the power that it's talking about, it speaks of authority. That's exousia's the word. 1849 is the Strong's Concordance reference to it. The word is exousia here. There are two powers, at least three. There's more than two. But the main ones that we know more about is exousia and dunamis. Now, this is not talking about dunamis, the power that you receive when the Holy Ghost comes. It's talking about exousia. And it speaks of authority, that everyone be subject, that every soul be subject unto the higher powers. There's no power but of God. And the powers that be are ordained of God. And I don't know if you've heard me pray for world leaders and for whatever his name is over there in Israel, and pray for him, and even pray for some of the enemies of Israel and our enemies, because they're there because God has allowed it. So, and while you say, how could God have such an evil, destructive, murderous, bloodthirsty person in power? Well, let's take that up with him. The Bible says that the powers that be are ordained or ordered by the Lord. And the best sense I can make out of it is that God has a prophetic plan. And his prophecies have never failed and will never fail. And I personally believe that even the ones that are in power today are actively working in fulfillment of God's plan. I believe that with my heart, that it doesn't look good to us, it doesn't look right to us, But God is the one that's in power. He's the one that calls the shots. He either causes it or he allows it. But nothing happens unless it goes past him first. Listen, murder and death and all of that. It's appointed once unto man to die. We're going to die. Everyone's going to die unless Christ comes in your lifetime. And I've been looking for that since 1980. I'm saying, praise the Lord, he might come tomorrow. Hallelujah. And 10 years went past, and I said, well, hallelujah, he might come tomorrow. And 20 years went past, and well, praise God, here we are today. I'm still looking for him to come. I'm 63 now, and I was 28 at the time. But I'm still looking for him to come. I would love for him to come in my lifetime, because I will be in the only generation to not taste of death. Amen. The one that's alive when he comes will not have death to deal with. But everyone that goes before will die. And so we know that it's going to end one way or another, either with him coming or us going. And that's everybody. Everybody. I used to lose sleep about my father. Oh, my goodness, he's going to die one day. Oh, my goodness, my mama. It didn't help. It did not help. Okay, so all of the powers, number one, are ordained or ordered by God. He's got everything ordered for the fulfillment of his prophetic plan. And if you read on through to Revelation, you'll find out that it gets pretty rough there in Revelation. It gets pretty bad in Revelation. And I used to read it and wonder, how in the world could anybody speak hateful words towards God? I couldn't understand it. But now, reading the news, I can see how and who. A lot of folks, whether they're a lot here in this country that can do the very same thing. They have no respect for God, no need for him. They hate him and you. And yeah, there's a bunch of that around. But thank God it's not in here. And so the powers that be are ordained. Now, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resists the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now, we're talking about civil government. We're talking about man and our relationship in the government and in our cities and state and country. Whosoever resists the power is resisting an ordinance or the instrumentality of God, something that God has put in place. That means we should walk lawfully. We should walk in accordance with the laws that we live under. Of course, if it asks you to do something against God, then you might have a little issue with that. But otherwise, we should walk lawfully in this world. Because if you do resist it, you will receive damnation. That's not a good word. Even though it's in the Bible, it's not a good word to receive damnation. That's condemnation. That's not good. Well, condemnation, that means like, okay, let me bring it home here. You might go to jail. You might wind up in handcuffs. You might wind up tased or shot, or depending on how strong your resistance is. And the ones that do it have authority to do it. They don't always do it right, but they still have authority to do it. They still do it. And so when you start resisting the power and resisting the authority, you should expect that eventually that power, authority, will come down on you. That's how it's set up. For the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Would thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. And so the powers that are in place are not there to harass those that are living in accordance with the power. It's there for those that are living and acting against it. And so it says, do what's good. Do what's right. It's easy to do what's good and what's right. Just do what's good, and you'll have praise of the same. That means they're not going to pull you over for no reason. Well, I know about racial profile. Okay, Bill, I know they got that kind of thing. But, we got good and evil everywhere, even in the police. If y'all think the police are pure and holy, then I'm sure sorry for you, because they're not. They're human beings that have a charge to keep. But I would venture to guess that the bulk of the policemen aren't trying to do their jobs in a proper way. And you get a bad apple in there. You get someone that's, you know, that's still got those prejudices or those issues that they walk around with a gun on their hip with, and they go about themselves to correct that. But, you know, we just should still do what is right. That's what the Bible is saying. You should still do what is right. And then God will take care of you regardless. You know, a lot of good people have been persecuted. There are everybody that's supposed to be in jail, you know, is not in jail. You know that there are some people in jail should not be in jail. You know that, right? There are some folks get caught up in stuff, or some folks get, they just, something happened, and it's a bad day, and they wind up locked up. And they're with people that should be in there. And they're just as nice and just as good, but they're just caught up in that. And you got some rascals walking down your street. Lord knows they need to be locked up. They need to be taken off the street. But they're just walking just as bold up and down your street. You see? But you do what is right. The Bible is telling us to do what is right. For this power that is talked about is the minister of God. Can you believe that? It's not a preaching, teaching like pulpit, but the powers are a minister of God. God put them there. He's a minister of God for thee for good. But if you do that which is evil, be afraid. As they say, be very afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to exercise wrath upon him that does evil. And so, I tell you what, you get a police call out on a situation and somebody's end up doing evil, you'll find 10 police cars surrounding that place. They'll leave and show up, and they'll have rifles and shotguns aimed at the front door, and they are there to do their jobs and to be revengers, to execute wrath on him that does evil. And you find that on a police stop. At least one or two more cars show up to sit there and watch. And once you get cleared, then you go on about your way. If you get cleared, you hope to get cleared. So you do what's good. Well, you keep the paperwork in order. you have your license and your registration and your insurance in place. And all of that, so that if you do get stopped and they made a mistake, they can look at your documentation and say, okay, sir, have a nice night. Have a nice night. Appreciate you dealing with me and treating me with respect. And so, wherefore, you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Now, we are the people that should really have a conscience if nobody else has a conscience. You hear me? That we should be guided even by our conscience, our knowledge of what is right and our knowledge of what is wrong. We should know by that, and we should make our choices by what is right and what is wrong. And it says, if you're not going to do what's right because you know that it'll get you in trouble, then do what's right because you know what's right. So it's talking about the power that be, and it's also talking about you, your heart, your conscience as well. That you should walk according to that. But for this cause, pay ye tribute. Oh, yeah, we're talking about money. And basically, I believe it's talking about taxes, paying your taxes. For they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. And so, it's right to pay taxes. We should pay taxes, just government taxes. you know. IRS taxes. It's right to pay taxes. You should pay your taxes. You don't want to get caught cheating on your taxes because they really stick it to you when they catch you. And they'll do an audit that you wouldn't have done. And they'll throw in everything. The kitchen sink and the kitchen and your firstborn. They'll throw everything in there and try to tax it. And then penalize you for it as well if you get caught trying to cheat. And so it says, even do your taxes properly, your tribute, because, in other words, they're ministers. They've got to pay bills, too, in other words. You got to pay. They've got to be paid. That's what this is talking about, to do their duties and what they are there to do. It says, render, therefore, to all their dues. That's everything that's owed. Tribute. And you could say maybe an estate tax. To whom tribute is due. Custom. These are taxes that you pay on imports or exports, to whom custom fear. To whom fear is due. That is like a respectful obedience. Honor. To whom honor is due. Meaning you respect the office. If you don't respect the person behind the badge, respect the badge. That's what it's saying. You respect the badge. You respect the uniform. You don't say, you dirty pigs, all of y'all. No, honor him. Just honor him. Do you know what I do when a female officer, if I'm dealing with a female officer? I say, yes, ma'am. Do you have to, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. I'm not going, oh, that's a woman. Woman ain't going to tell. Oh, no. Look at the uniform. Look at the badge. She's just as big as a man behind that uniform. And the gun is just as powerful. We could say amen about the gun. Just as powerful. She's got the same authority. And she deserves that respect. Amen, y'all. So if we ain't got any chauvinists in here, that you got a little thing about women in authority, I'm just letting you know this morning, you need to be very careful how you handle that. Because if they are rightfully in authority, they have just as much right as any man. Thank you, Bobby. Everybody else. Amen. I mean, this is how we should carry ourselves in this. And I don't even know so much so that it's for us, because I believe that we're pretty well behaved. I mean, we're not thugs and robbers and rapists, and you know, we don't go out there and do crime and that type of thing. But it's in the churches, though. There are folks in the churches that do these things. Unfortunately, a lot of the crime is done in the church to the members. And sometimes that don't get out, the members. You know what they say in some of the churches? Well, he is the pastor after all. I'm saying, lock that sucker up. If he's wrong, if he's doing the wrong things to the members or doing the wrong things to the female members, taking advantage of the women, stealing the money, I believe he should be prosecuted. I do believe that he should be reported to the lawful authorities and removed from that office. But these people are so blinded by so-called loyalty. They'll see it and turn and look the other way. They need to read their scriptures. He has absolutely no business over God's people. None at all. He's a poor shepherd. He doesn't feed the sheep. He slaughters the sheep. That's the difference. That's not a shepherd. That's the one that takes the sheep to slaughter. I have an issue with that, as you hadn't figured that out yet. But I have a strong issue with that. And I have an issue with church ignorance and ignorant people. If y'all see me doing that, y'all need to show me the door. You don't need this, even from me. My wife come out, amen. You listen. You have no business here if your heart is not right, not up here. You need to be there and let the Lord work on you. But you cannot lead anyone if you're broken. All of us got issues and problems, but you shouldn't be taking advantage of this particular office like that. Okay. Praise the Lord. It says, to owe no man anything. Now this is for us, but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And that's the fulfillment of the law, which is to love one another. If you love me, I shouldn't have to keep my eye on you. You know, I shouldn't have to worry about you. That's what we owe each other. My debt to you is to love you. It didn't say like you, but to love you. But I like you too, so you get a double benefit. Amen. But to love one another, because to love, oh, y'all made up already. It's the fulfillment of the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Wow, that's some deep loving. That means I put you before me. If you have a need, I want to see if I can help you fulfill that need. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's how it should be. Not self, just me. But it should be loving your neighbor as yourself. It says that love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love. If we walk in love, we have fulfilled all of the law. Because you're not going to do anything to hurt your neighbor. You fulfill the law. If you love them, you're not going to be looking at his wife, Paul's hope, wishing you had that, and looking at his car, or different. I wish I had that, and I'm just jealous of what they. No. No. Love fulfills the law. You love your neighbor. You'd be glad that they got something good working for them. You'd be glad that something came through for them. You're like, learn to rejoice with one another. Praise God, you got it. Praise God, you've made it. Hallelujah. I'm so glad for you. I am so glad for you. Not, Now, you know you don't deserve that. That should be me. No, it shouldn't, because it's not. Now, you know. Amen. Love your neighbor. We need to practice this. We need to work on it. Ask God to help us. Show us what this means. This is so important because, you know, people will continually try to keep the law anyway. And so they'll go down that list and insist on enumerating it, every one of them, and then I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. And before it's over, before you can get to 10, you already broken number 2. When you get to 10, I did it. Wait a minute, number 2. Look at it. It's blinking again. So you go back, you come back down again, and you get to number 8, and number 4 is blinking. It's too detailed for us to handle. It's too detailed for us to try and do. And anyway, the Bible says that the law saves no man. Because it says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's what the law does for you. When you go to look for the law, you know what it's going to tell you? You are such a rotten sinner. But I'm going to keep them again. It says, you're too big of a sin to keep them. Well, tomorrow I'm going to get up and start, and I'm going to love the Lord my God. I'm going to love my brother. It said, no, you're too bad to do that. The law will always come back at you and tell you how terrible you are. It will show you. It will give you the knowledge of sin. And some folks are still saying, God said they were 10 commandments, not 10 suggestions. There's one main commandment, and that's to love your neighbor as yourself. On these hang all of the commandments, Jesus said, and the prophets, to walk in love one to another. That encompasses all 10. I've been preaching this, you know. I'm not going to do you wrong if I love you. I'm not going to covet your things if I love you. I'm not going to try to take your wife if I love you. I'm not going to steal from you if I love you. I don't even have to, you know, go down the list in my mind. I'm not going to do it to you. I'm just not going to do it. My conscience is going to say, what are you thinking? Your conscience should speak up and say, you're out of your mind. Do you know who you're thinking about? Yeah. You're straight and set right if you love someone. It's all comprehended in that one thing. And that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. I know a brother. I say, how you doing, brother? He says, saved her. I said, now where did you get that from? He probably said, well, I got it from Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Now is my salvation nearer than when we believe. And of course, I believe what he's saying is, I'm closer there than I was when I first got saved. But another way of looking at it is that we have a better understanding of this salvation than we had when we first came in. It's even nearer, and we should be learning to appreciate it more, what he has done for us. I mean, over the many years, you know, I got to tell you, there are no baby Christians in here. You are full-born when you come in. You just need to learn who you are and learn what you got in Christ. You've been in church for 3 years. Do not come and tell me I'm a baby Christian. I'm going to push you off and say, hold up. How long you say? 3 years. Even physical babies growing teeth in 3 years. You know, they're getting ready to walk, and they think they can go outside. You say, well, I can't do that. I don't understand. Well, look to the baby child. Don't do that. Yeah, no baby Christians in here. You might not understand. When it talks about Christian maturity, it talks about maturity. When it talks about Christian perfection, it's not talking about sinlessness. It's talking about maturity, growing in the knowledge of Christ. That's what it's about. That's the perfection that we're called to be perfect as we grow in the knowledge of Christ and accept the truth as we receive it. And we all receive truth at different levels, at different times. One hears one thing and one hears another. That's the thing that makes the teaching of God so unique. That makes him the teacher and not me. He knows what your need is, and he addresses you at the point of that need. He speaks to you. That's why someone could be sitting here and walk out in such heavy conviction, and another one can walk out praising God. Hallelujah! Woo-hoo! And the other one is saying, my goodness, I really need to deal with this. Well, wait a minute. You heard the same sermon, but look at the different effects that it might have. See, that's because he's the teacher, and he speaks to you right where you are at the point of your particular need. I've seen some folks get up and didn't even say bye. They just walk out the door with their head down. Wow. I don't know what that was, Lord, but praise the Lord anyway. You know? Listen, they heard something. And my point is, typically, they've heard something. God has told them something. He has shared something with them that they needed to hear. And that's how that works. He tells you something you need to hear. No one else needs to hear it because it's nobody's business but yours and him. Unless you want to share it. And if you tell me, I say, oh, well, praise the Lord. I'm glad you heard it. I don't know what else to tell you because it's between you and him. I might not even understand everything that he said, but I bet you do. You know what he's saying, and you know why he's saying it. It's a great thing that he does for us. And it says that the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. I know you've heard about nightlife. Folks wait until midnight to go out. They wait until 1 o'clock to go partying. So, well, Christians are not called. You know, we're creatures of light. It was just an example, but we are called to walk in the day. We're called to walk in the light, not in darkness, not in those things wherein we used to be ashamed of. Let us walk and put on, the Bible says, the armor of light. And it says that we should walk honestly. That means decently. We should live decent lives. That's what honor, honesty means. We should live decently, as in the day. Not in rioting, that is looseness and drunkenness, that's walking around intoxicated. Not in chambering of wantonness, not in strife and envy. Wantonness is recklessness, to live recklessly, to live harmfully to others, without regards to others. It also speaks of sexual looseness. Sodom, that's wanton. It speaks of not living uncleanly. See, and 1 Corinthians 6:9 talks a little bit more about that. It's folks think that the Bible only speaks of homosexuality or sodomy in the New Testament. I know it's in the Old, but in the New Testament, in Romans chapter 1, and it talks about that. And it's very explicit, but it's talking about it here in this verse, and it also talks about it over in 1 Corinthians 6:9. And it's in there, but you kind of got to be able to look some of this stuff up. But this disturbed me so much to tell me just how people are and how people live around us and the life that we've been saved from. And, you know, 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate." Well, we know effeminate, that's a man that acts feminine, right? Effeminate, if there be any question about this. "Nor abusers of themselves with mankind." And that's the word. Effeminate, it comes out to be a catamite. Catamite means soft. A catamite, when it talks about this, the effeminate, it's a catamite. That's the term. If you looked up the word that they use here for this, you find that it gives a Greek definition, and in that definition it has the word catamite in it. And a catamite is a young boy that is taken for and pruned for a sexual relationship with the man. And that's what they were doing. They were grooming young boys for this purpose. They call them catamites. And that's right here in our Bible. They're saying there in 1 Corinthians that kind of thing was happening during that day. And I almost stopped studying. You know, this thing disturbed me so much. That's the way I went on and did some more research so I could get a little bit more under my belt about this. And it is amazing the things that Paul is writing and teaching against and saying, get away from that stuff. See? Don't do that. And it didn't just start today. Pedophilia didn't just start today. We're talking way back. Back in Paul's day and before that, before Paul, because now he's writing about it. Say, now you come out of that stuff. Now get away from it. Don't walk in the darkness. Walk in the light. You're children of light. It is a terrible, disgusting type thing. Then I think back at some attempts that were made on me as a boy. And I had a family member. Had he succeeded, I would be visiting him all the while I was growing up. He'd be sending for me and giving me money and whatever he wants, see? But it didn't work because it was strange to me. I'm like, no, that's not right. As a little boy. But he was starting as a little boy, and I was crazy about him. I didn't understand what it meant. And as a little tiny boy, he was working, trying to, you know, get me in the mind to do these things for him. And I just wouldn't participate. And so right now, we do not communicate at all. I still love him, but I've had enough. I've had enough. You know, I'm just through with trying to be his friend and his cousin and all of that stuff, because he's still got a funny little attitude about him, but he don't come after me, but he's just, I don't know. But see, this is the kind of things, and then I'm going to finish my thought here, because we've got folks are saying, well, those people can't help the way they are. They were born that way. So why do you treat them like that? Because they were born that way. Well, I don't know. I heard one man say, we got the X chromosome, we got the Y chromosome. The woman gives her part and the man does the choosing. Something, I don't know. And it comes out a boy, it comes out a girl. They were born like that. See? But then you got little children who don't even remember 1 and 2 years old. And then they go and stay at auntie's house all night. And auntie's babysitting for this little girl. And auntie's having her way with this little girl and bringing this little girl up to think this is how it is. And this little girl gets to be 6 years old and 7 years old. And she says, I've always been like this. Y'all shouldn't judge me because this is the kind of thing that I like to do. Oh, you can't remember age 1, 2, and 3 coming up. When auntie used to do all of these things, or when your uncle used to do these things. Now, you know, if people make the claim, okay, I wasn't there, but I do have my experience And I do know that I was come on to several times, not just my cousin, by another man too. And I said the same thing to him. I said, hey, I'm a boy. You make a good little girl. I said, but I'm a boy. It didn't make sense to me. But if he could have got me to think it around, he was a cab driver. I'd be getting all kinds of free rides and candy and soda and ice cream and cake and taking care of me. You know, that's my boy. I know. It might not be in the scriptures, but I'm doing the preaching, so let me finish. There's got to be a way that we look at these things, and sometimes we need to look logically at these things. And people say, well, I've been like this all my life. Well, I can't argue that with you, but you never know. Do you have an auntie that's in this lifestyle? Oh, well, yes, I do. Or do you have an uncle that's in this lifestyle? Do you have a family member? You could go to you're probing around and find out, is this in the family line? Has you got any family friends? Did they babysit you? Kind of solemn, isn't it? Y'all know I'm also upset about that, right? They're doing it. Yeah, it is, but you know, that thing is so widespread now until we just need Jesus to come. Do what you can. Live the life before him and before men. Live right and upright like the scripture says. It says to walk honestly as in the day, and not in rioting, and not in looseness or drunkenness or in chambering, sleeping around or wantonness. Not in strife, always fussing and carrying on. I got some neighbors, they come out there fussing and cussing as loud as they can be. Bam! F this, F you, you GDGDZ. Oh man, what a bunch of clowns. You know, it becomes laughable after a while. Can't y'all just talk in community? I'm used to that. But it says to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put on Jesus. Practice him. Practice Jesus. Practice the Christian walk. Don't make provisions for the flesh. Because you start listening to your flesh, that thing is going to take you down a road that you don't want to go down. And it's going to keep you longer than you want to stay. And when you get ready to leave, it's not going to just say, okay, then we'll see you next time. That thing will have you locked up. Don't make provisions for the flesh. Practice Jesus. Practice walking in the light. And don't make provisions for the flesh. Granted, we've got the two natures we're dealing with. But we got to remember, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You receive power when you got saved because the Holy Ghost came into your life. You've got the power in you to say no to the other you. To the other you. So your other you is there, though, right? You know that, right? Listen, Paul said in Romans 7, when I would do good, evil is present with me. That's what Paul said. When I would do good, evil is present with me. And so, yes, we should do good, but just know, evil is going to fight it. Going to try and stop it. It's going to try and stop you in your tracks. You got the power to push back. You got the power to say no to evil. I'm going to go on. And I'm going to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will not make provision for you. I will not make provision for my flesh. The first time I heard my flesh talking to me was 1984, something like that. And I was out washing cars. And I had left my first church. I finally got mad enough that I said, okay, that's enough. No more of this. So I went back out. But I was on my way back to the Lord. And I said, you know what? All day that I wash cars, I'm going to put the Bible on. And I'm just going to listen to the Bible play. I had those cassette tapes at the time. The miracle of invention at the time, you know. And I was listening to the Bible. I was listening to the preaching on the Word of God. And I was washing and just kind of enjoying the Word. And I heard something say, I want to hear music. And I stopped. I said, who wants, I spoke out. I said, who wants to hear music? If you would have seen me, you would have said, the car wash man has just lost his mind. He stopped washing and just stood up and start talking like there was somebody there. Because I stood up, I said, who wants to hear music? And I thought about it, I said, oh, now you're going to hear the word. Now I know you're going to hear the word now, all day long. Play, and I played all day, I played that word. But that's the first time that I heard that, you know, the voice. Now, let's say the first time I recognized the voice. Surely wasn't the first time I heard the voice. But the first time I recognized the voice of my flesh, because it was just too much word going on. It's like, put on the Christian music thing. That's better than that word thing. I want to hear music. And that was the first time I recognized. I said, uh-huh. So that's how it goes. So that's what's been going on. You see? But that just happened, you know, Lord just, I guess it was so much word going that my spirit man said, uh-huh. Yeah, and shine a light on this rascal here. It wasn't the devil. It wasn't a demon. It wasn't Satan coming to try to trip me up, as we will say. It was me. It was my flesh man wanting his way. Well, he didn't get his way. So put on the Lord Jesus. Amen. I know it's a different kind of message, but praise the Lord anyway. It tells us how we should carry ourselves in this world today. We should live right, live upright, live respectably, respect the uniform, respect the badge, even though some of them are just as criminal as some of the guys on the street. Just respect the uniform. It is very explicit, and I think very necessary. So, God bless you. let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word today, and let's just ask you to help us as we leave from here and go about our lives, and cause us to appreciate the truth that you've given us today, and give us the desires, prick our consciousness so that we will be conscious of these things. In Jesus' name, amen.